time will come. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, A Time Will Come. Today we will focus on the masjid, a hadith tradition which tells us about the character trait of people towards the end of time, how they will behave in the masjid, what will they do, inshallah, I will reveal very shortly, and some points of etiquette related to the masjid. It's something important for all of us, maybe a reminder for many, and for those who are not aware of certain things, it will be something beneficial for them. But before I mention the main focus of today's session, I want to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet, the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Remember, a supplication of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is not because he needs it, it is because we need it. We need this means of reward, this means of attaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means of attaining success and salvation in the hereafter. In this particular hadith, it is mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, adorn, decorate your gatherings by sending salat, sending blessings upon me. Because why the reason is given? Your recitation of salawat, your sending blessing, this action of you sending blessings upon me will be light for you on the day of judgment. Yes, it will be nur for you on the day of judgment. So if we want to have this light on the Day of Judgment, one means of attaining this is expressing our love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam by sending these gifts of salawat in to his court. And in all honesty, those who have adopted this beautiful practice, those who have embraced this beautiful good deed of sending peace and blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, they will agree and they will acknowledge the fact that they have witnessed some of the blessings of this action. There's no point of us thinking, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't do it. That this is our problem. We hear all these ways of becoming better Muslims or possibly attaining a means of salvation. We hear all these narrations about success as individuals and success as communities. But when it comes to the actual moment of action, when we are given the chance to do something, we don't. And it's because we've become accustomed to seeing benefit first before we actually move a muscle. This is how materialistic we've become. Until we don't see a physical benefit for something, we have little faith in what we hear. And this is a very sad situation, because one of the qualities of the pious people is that الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they believe in the unseen. So the challenge, remember, the challenge for believers will always be, without seeing, having faith and then behaving in an appropriate way, or observing the obligations of the Sharia, or doing something praiseworthy, a good action. Moving on to the main hadith of today's session, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that a time will come when The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are as follows: يَكُونُ حَدِيثُهُمْ فِي مَسَاجِدِهِمْ فِي أَمْرِ دُنْيَاهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, obviously he said first, the time will come when what will happen? There shall be talk of dunya in the masjid, worldly talk in the masjids. Moving on. Not only did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam reveal that people will talk about dunya in the masjid, it goes further. He actually gives an instruction. So when people are talking about dunya in the masjid, when people are talking about worldly matters in the masjid, what is the instruction for us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَا تُجَالِسُوهُمْ. Do not sit with them. Do not sit in their company. Do not sit with them. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have anything to do with them, has no need for them. It's a contextual translation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear of how displeased he is with people who talk about dunya in the masjid, that their action is such an undesirable action, it is so wrong, that not only do you not sit with them, let me tell you something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for them. And the explanation of that, the ending of that hadith is given by Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi. He says, this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bestow His grace upon them. They are deprived of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who? The people who talk about dunya in the masjid. Yes, they are deprived of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely independent. He does not need anyone or anything in creation. This is just an expression. So the explanation is that those people who sit in the house of Allah, who sit in the masjid, talking about worldly affairs, they are such people that we should not sit in their company, and such people are deprived of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this hadith is quite self-explanatory. There's nothing really to explain here. All I can say is this: are we not witnesses to the reality of this character trait? Are we not living in a time where people are speaking about worldly matters in the masjid? People are talking about anything and everything, as an expression I say it, in the masjid without any concern whatsoever. There is absolutely no fear. There seems to be no concern or fear about the consequences of what is being discussed. So the advice, the general advice here is, when you enter the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will cover the points of etiquette shortly, but when you enter the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realize, make yourself aware that you are about to enter the court of the master of the universe, of the creator of all creation, before whom so many in creation are submissive. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens who are continuously in a state of devotion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who, if He wills, He may seize people for their disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose retribution is retribution we cannot even imagine. The punishment that people shall incur for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a punishment that we can only describe in words. We cannot understand it. When you are going into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bila tamseel, without comparison, when you go to the home of an authority, when you go to the home of someone of influence in this world, you're all careful about your dress code. You're careful about not saying that something which is inappropriate in the presence of that honorable personality. If for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people can have so much concern and show so much care in terms of their appearance, in terms of their speech, in terms of their general behavior. Why is it then that when you go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid, the best of places, the forts of protection against shaitan, against the devils, against the shayateen, when you enter that sacred area, why is it then that our tongues become loose and our behavior becomes inappropriate? We must really think about what we are doing. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he mentioned, min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that from the beauty of a man's religion is to turn away from that which does not concern him. These discussions which are going on in the masjid of dunya, these are discussions that do not concern any us at all, not beneficial for us generally speaking. What is beneficial for us is recitation of the Quran, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a gathering of praise for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, a gathering, a discussion of knowledge, where sacred knowledge is taught and learnt, where the Quran is taught and learnt. These gatherings of worldly discussion within the masjid should be warning signs for us. If we are able to stop these gatherings, or if we think that by saying something we may discourage some of the people, we must make that take that step. We shouldn't ignore it. This is not normal. Don't accept this as normal behavior. Anyone who has authority, whether it's the respected honorable imams or scholars or people of influence or elders, respected elders, with wisdom, it is time to eradicate this evil trait. It is time to bring back those blessings. Why? Because at the moment, if we are sitting in areas that are considered to be sacred, but we are not behaving in the right way, we are losing the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid, a sacred area, an area where if we enter with good intention, we are rewarded for every breath we take. Subhanallah. Think about that. Can you think of another area, sacred area, or any area where just being there, within that area, and breathing in that area is rewarding? Think about it. This beautiful point of excellence is for the masjid, or related to the masjid. When you are in the masjid and you're just there, you're not doing anything, even the breath, the breathing in the masjid, every breath that you take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for every breath there is reward for us. And moving on to the points of etiquette related to the masjid, some are very obvious, some need some explanation. So we begin with some points of etiquette related to the masjid. When you enter the masjid, obviously you enter with your right foot. And when you leave the actual area of the masjid, you leave with your left foot. If you know the supplication of entering the masjid and leaving the masjid, then this would be the time to read those supplications according to the sunnah. Next point, because of the nature of the our program, we won't go into details for every single point. It's more a case of reminding, informing. Some points may be clarified a little bit more, but that's the first one is quite obvious. The next point, without an intention of i'tikaf, one is not allowed to eat anything in the masjid. So in the actual masjid area, one is generally not allowed to eat if he does not have the intention of i'tikaf. So i'tikaf is not only we translate it as a retreat, a religious retreat. It's not only the 10-day retreat in the last 10 days of Ramadan. You also have a voluntary i'tikaf, which is whenever you go to the masjid, you enter the masjid, if you make the intention of sunnah i'tikaf, then as long as you remain in the masjid, you attain reward just by virtue of that intention. And due to that intention, obviously, you've obviously gone to the masjid for zikr, for salah, in addition to the benefit of attaining the reward of this sunnah i'tikaf, eating and drinking becomes permissible for the individual. Another point which is mentioned is it's a custom in a lot of the masjids that in the month of Ramadan, people send a food of iftar, food for people to break their fast, to the masjid. And the cloth is laid out in the actual hall of the masjid, because a lot of the time, mashallah, there's a lot of food coming, and there are no separate rooms to cater for people. So within the within a part of the main hall of the masjid, sheets of cloth are laid down, and the food is put there, and people gather there. In these situations, some people fail to observe this particular ruling that without the intention of i'tikaf, it is not permissible to eat in this manner. Another point of etiquette that is mentioned: when someone performs wudu in the facilities provided within the masjid area, obviously when we say masjid, we mean generally we mean the whole building, but here we're specifying the actual prayer area where people pray, or the area which is within the boundaries of the specified masjid, not the building itself. We're talking about the specified masjid area, which is usually within the prayer hall, and or something very close to the prayer hall, or rooms that are very near. And the people who have responsibilities in terms of looking after, caring for the masjid, they usually know the boundaries of the masjid. If anyone is unsure, they can ask the Imam Sahib or the scholar who is leading the prayers there. When people perform wudu, they should be careful that those droplets of water from their limbs should not drop onto the masjid floor. They should ensure that they dry themselves to such an extent. Yes, it is desirable to keep some moisture on the limbs, the hands, obviously the parts of the body that are washed in wudu. It is desirable to keep some kind of wetness or moisture, but make sure you're not dripping with water when you actually enter the masjid, as this is considered to be against the etiquette of the masjid. Another point which is quite clear and self-explanatory is running in the masjid or walking in such a way where you create a sound with your feet. Obviously, so if you step, or take your steps, heavy steps, and I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, is it creates some kind of sound or thumping sound or echoing sound. Creating a sound like this in the masjid is not allowed. It's not permitted. It is against the etiquette of the masjid. And the likes of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Sahaba, were very strict on these matters. We should not have people running in the masjid. We should not have people creating such noises in the masjid. Yes, it's a distraction for the people who are praying also. And it's just not appropriate for a sacred area that such sounds are created. Moving on, if a person sneezes in the masjid, then he should try his best to ensure that the sound of the sneeze is not very loud. And it's quite obvious how you can do that. You can obviously cover your nose, your mouth, and just try to suppress the sound. Don't make the sound very loud. And some people, they just have a habit. When they sneeze, it's like they want the whole world to know that they're sneezing. No hands, anything in front of their mouths. It's just, it's like ready, and they're going, their heads go back, and then suddenly they just let out that sound of the sneeze, and they think it's a normal thing to do. And people around them are averse to such kind. It's not civil. It's not the way of courtesy anyway. I mean, we're talking about the house of Allah, the masjid, the sacred area. But even outside, it's not something which is desirable. Even this is not something desirable in environments which are not religious, social gatherings. So in the masjid especially, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked loud sneezing sounds or the loud sneezing in the masjid. So this was actually specified in hadith. Moving on, another sound which is not really liked, which unfortunately is heard in the masajid at times, is the belching sound. And the belching sound is obviously a sound which is usually created because people have eat more than they should have eaten, or some people just have a habit. They think it's normal just to make that sound. In the masjid, if someone has had, for example, a fizzy drink, and it's just, or suddenly it happens, that sound again, should try to suppress it in some way, ensure that it's not a very loud sound. Unfortunately, we, especially in Ramadan, after iftar or taraweeh prayer, people they might overfill themselves and they eat too much and they don't give their bodies enough time to digest all that food. And then after eating all that oily, greasy food and fizzy drinks, and they rush to the masjid for taraweeh prayer. Some of them may not even clean their teeth or take the appropriate steps before they come into the masjid. And they're there in qiyam, they're belching away. And it's irritating, it's something which is against the etiquette of the masjid. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam once heard a man who made this sound. He came to the prophetic court and he belched. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Keep your belching away from us." And then he said that because the one who keeps himself full for longer in this world, he shall be hungry for a longer period on the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed this. So really, the sound generally was not liked, was an undesirable sound. And in the masjid especially, people should refrain from this. Some people, another point which is, some people when they yawn, they make a sound when they yawn. They make that yawning sound. This is obviously something which is also undesirable. And even when you're not in the masjid, it's not a sound which should be loud, because it is considered to be the laughing of the devil. That's the description given of such a sound. So what other steps? If you feel like you're yawning, first you should try to stop, keep your mouth closed. And if you cannot do this, that you feel your mouth is opening, then with your your upper teeth, just try to bite your lip slightly. Don't obviously injure yourself, but just bite down on your lip. Just try to force your mouth to stay closed. And obviously, if it's something which happens and you're in qiyam, for example, then just cover your mouth with your right hand. And or otherwise, generally speaking, cover your hand with your left. And a point which is mentioned by the scholars, which is mujarrab. Mujarrab means through experience they have found that if you think in a certain way, or you do a certain thing, the desired outcome is achieved. In this case, they say that one mujarrab method, from experience, a method of stopping the yawning, is as soon as it happens, straight away think that the prophets of Allah never yawned. Think this, the prophets of Allah never yawned, and hopefully that yawning will go away. Obviously, something which we mentioned that is part of the main discussion of today's session is you do not talk about dunya in the masjid. You do not shout out and call out to people while you're in that sacred area also. Another point is that obviously laughing in the masjid is something which is considered to be, which is not permitted. And it is specified that laughing in the masjid, it brings darkness into the grave. The smile obviously is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but any kind of joking, laughing in the masjid, it's not appropriate. It's not. It opposes the etiquette of the masjid. There are other points related to the etiquette of the masjid. For example, not stretching one's legs in the direction of Qibla. Some people don't even have any. They don't think that this is something which is against the etiquette of the masjid. Generally speaking, but especially in the masjid, not stretching your legs towards the Qibla. There is a very famous account of Sayyidina Sari Saqati. He was sitting alone in the masjid, stretching his legs. And he heard a voice say, is this how you sit in the presence of kings? After that, it is said about Sayyidina Sari Saqati that he did not stretch his legs for his whole life. The only other time he stretched his legs or his legs were straightened were on his deathbed. Yes, this is how seriously he took this indication. He considered it to be a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding him of the etiquette of the masjid. Remember, bringing any bad smells, foul smells into the masjid is not allowed. One is not allowed into the masjid. It is prohibited for him to come into the masjid if he is foul smelling. So when you come to the masjid, you must be in a clean, appropriate condition. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we adopt the right etiquette and we fulfill the points of etiquette related to the masjid, and we refrain from talking about worldly affairs in the masjid and refrain from sitting with those who talk about such matters in the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good intentions. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Ameen.